You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Mike's got a point, but I got one other thing to say about what I was saying before the break. I don't want to see anybody get fired, and I'm not advocating anybody be fired, okay? But the funny thing is, when I watch AEW television, and there's 85 people on the show, and they're having 16 matches on Monday on Elevation and 16 matches on Tuesday on Dark, it's like, there might be too many people on this roster. But for whatever reason, when I watch WWE, it's like, is everybody out with COVID? What's going on here? I just want to rattle this off right here. Nia and Shayna, here's who they faced of late. Dana and Mandy, Natty and Tamina, Asuka and Rhea, Natty, Naomi, Dana and Mandy, Bianca and Sasha, Bianca, Asuka, Lana and Naomi, Bianca. Then there was Dakota and Raquel. Asuka and Charlotte, Bianca and Sasha. It's like, dude, how many times do we have to see some combination of the same three matches? And you know what's even more amazing about that? They're the traveling champions. So they're facing the same exact people every single week when they literally have two rosters to choose from. We just keep seeing the same things over and over again. But man, we had to break up Billy and Peyton. And man, we had to break up Tucker, and we had to break up Kalisto and the other luchas, as they called them. And let's break them up, and then we'll have them do nothing, and then we won't know what to do with our tag division. So we'll do what, I mean, come on. What do you think the card for WrestleMania Backlash is going to be? The same matches we saw in WrestleMania. So anyway, it seems to me like there were a lot of people here, and there are a lot of people that, by the way, have not been cut, and maybe they will, maybe they won't, that are also doing nothing as I watch the same matches over and over again. Yes, Mike, Samoa Joe.
Well, you were baffled over how you could get rid of a guy like that and leave Byron Saxton there. You're talking about a company where the lead announcer, your brand new lead announcer for the company, a guy that's been on ESPN, a guy that's been on the MLB Network, all of this experience that he has in sportscast, he has not met the man that is yelling at him through his headphones every Monday night. Adnan Virk has not met Vince McMahon.
I did see that.
Yet.
The headline was, Adnan Virk has not yet met Vince McMahon.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, you will, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, you will.
All right. And the crazy part is, too, as you're looking at the story, which is available for everybody to see at WrestlingObserver.com on the front page, he has not been regularly watching wrestling. I mean, he's got other jobs and a family, so I kind of don't blame him for that. The first thing he wants to do when he meets Vince, he wants to talk about Demolition, if it shows you where we're at as far as people being stuck in the past here. They contacted him in late 2020 because they were interested in bringing in a sportscaster. He hasn't been watching WWE on a weekly basis, but started in January and studied like he would be calling for a hockey game, getting information from WWE's website. I know how that usually works for you.
I'm just amazed that, like, they fired Samoa Joe, and I got nothing against Adnan Virk, but they fired Samoa Joe, and Vince McMahon hired a man he never met, who had never done the job anywhere, to be the lead announcer of his A show. By the way, Denise here has noted that not only did we not fire anybody during a pandemic, but we gave her more shows and more money in the middle of a pandemic.
Now, wait a second. I didn't want to hear all that now. I think that's now we're getting a little bit.
Let's change
the subject back here. Nick Khan.
All right, NXT.
Hold on. Nick Khan and Michael Cole. Now, no surprise that Michael Cole obviously is the head of the announcers and head of giving Vince's vision down to every new announcer, but Nick Khan was somebody that was pushing for Virk, and this is just another sign. Nick, for anything you want to say about WWE, Nick Khan, from his time working, I guess it was with CAA that helped to broker that deal with Fox that they had and has helped to broker their TV deals. His power is unquestioned, and him being the face when it's time to have interviews outside of Stephanie and Triple H, you know, Nick Khan is pretty much the only guy that you hear speaking when it comes to WWE, and this is a guy that get used to hearing his name for a long time because his influence and his sway and what he's already provided results-wise for this company probably has him sitting in some pretty tall cotton.
All right, so very quickly here, the NXT number unopposed, 805,000 viewers on Tuesday, which is a good number. They also finished the highest they finished in the cable ratings, I think, ever. But anyway, 18 to 49, finish, yes, higher than it has since before AEW Dynamite debuted, 0.22, same number drew head-to-head with Dynamite for live free takeover on USA Network. They actually did better than that. So I would bet that this is going to be about the number that the show normally does. Some weeks a little up, some weeks a little down, but I think this should be that. We'll get the AEW numbers in about a half hour now. They'll be up on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. And if you did not watch NXT or AEW last night, very quickly, since we only have a few minutes, the Young Bucks match with Pac and Phoenix was one of the best AEW matches ever. This match was so awesome. And the Young Bucks are the greatest heels. They're the best heels! And they went in there and they had a great match and they unmasked Phoenix and double super kicked him with his mask off and pinned him like two horrible people. And they got a horrible person out there as their manager, this Don Callis creep. Oh, this match was just fantastic.
I wonder if Callis was the one who bought him those bootleg Dior Jordans.
These aren't bootlegs. Come on.
I think they were bootlegs.
Oh,
I think that
get out of here.
Even more heelish.
Get out of here. Actually, it would be. We had Jade Cargill beating Red Velvet. It was fairly quick, but for someone with four matches, I mean, Jade did a very good job, and so did Red Velvet. We had Anthony Ogogo knocking out Cole Carter quickly. You can't tell anything about Anthony Ogogo. It was like a one-minute match, and he body shot a guy. So they're going to do the slow build with him as he continues to train.
Controversy over that one. We'll save that for another day.
Jericho and Dax Harwood. I thought was a very good match. Jericho's now a babyface, so it's a different kind of match. Dax Harwood's great. Match was really good. However, as we'll get to when we get to the main event, a million people ran in. And I'll get to that later. We had Marvez do an interview with Kenny and the Bucks and the Good Brothers. That was fun. Thunder Rosa promo. She wants both belts. Tony was with Christian. Taz tried to recruit him in a very... It was very unsuccessful. And so Christian said no. And so he was beat up by Powerhouse Hobbs, and they'll have a match next week. And then Matt Hardy, Darby Allin, Falls Count Anywhere. These guys worked their asses off. Match was a really fun match. But again, 9 million people ran in the middle of this match. Maybe once during a show I can handle this, but not twice. And, like, there were five matches going on at the same time, which unfortunately took focus away from Matt Hardy and Darby Allin killing each other. But they did it. And the real... this one here was like, they didn't need it. But the interference in the Jericho match with Dax Harwood, this one sort of irritated me more. Because it was very clear that the reason that they had the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle come out to brawl in the middle of this match was because we have War Games coming up in 3 weeks. Tony Schiavone, the announcers, noted that this feud has just begun. This is the first Inner Circle versus Pinnacle match. The first one. Jericho and Dax Harwood. And we already have to rush this giant brawl because the feud started today in the ring and we have War Games in 3 weeks. Now, obviously there's some sort of idea that Tony Khan has that necessitates it being in 3 weeks. But bro, I don't get it. Why is War Games starting 3 weeks after the feud started in the ring? It's totally rushed. And that's why they had to have everyone run in here, because they got to rush the booking, because next week there's only 2 weeks left. So anyway, aside from those two things, I mean, there was too much interference in two matches. But the matches were still very good matches. The opening was great. I thought this show was a pretty excellent show. Obviously, I would have done two things differently. But for the most part, I mean, if you're kicking off your first night unopposed, I thought that AEW did a significantly better job than NXT, which felt like more just it was a show. So we'll see what the ratings say in a few minutes.
Like you said yesterday about these shows, going to have to see how it plays out. Unfortunately, I don't know why they want to rush War Games so fast. I mean, having the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle in there, obviously it's a no-brainer. Why they need to rush this to TV, why it's got to be right now as opposed to whatever the next pay-per-view cycle is, I have no idea. But it seems to be it's coming way too fast. And I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. But I'm not sure, as it stands right now, if this is going to get the intended effect. I mean, you're going to have all the blood. It's going to be the match itself ought to be great. But did you utilize this step in the best way? As it stands right now, no, absolutely not. Because it seems like they're still building all the tension to all of this stuff.
In a moment, we'll be back with Dirty Ron talking his film. He was a great guest about a month ago. It's going to be a lot of fun. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
I'm Ron Barr. All my life I've been active, playing tennis, pickup basketball, cycling, and swimming. But let me tell you, as I've gotten older, my body now tells me when enough is enough and I've done too much. Did you know 100 million Americans suffer from ongoing pain due to aging, exercise, overexertion, and the effects of everyday living? I want to recommend Relief Factor to you. Relief Factor can help all those body parts that are hurting, sore, such as neck and shoulder, back, hip, or knee, or just general muscle aches and pains. Here's what I recommend. Go to ReliefFactor.com to find out more. And Relief Factor has something special for the Sports Byline USA Network listeners. You can get their 3-week quick start program for just $19.95. That's only 95 cents a day. So give them a call at 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. Or check it out at ReliefFactor.com.
At 28, I had struggled with opiate and meth addiction for 12 years. I did and said things that the sober me never would have done. One day I realized I was not invincible. I was not exempt. And that's when a friend told me about Elite Rehab Placement. They gave me the tools I needed to get sober, and all it took was the one phone call.
Elite Rehab can help you start to break your addiction problem and get sober in as little as 7 days. And we'll work with your insurance provider to help cover the costs. Plus, we have travel assistance programs to get you here by plane or train. Make this free call right now to learn more.
800-403-5912. 800-403-5912. 800-403-5912. That's 800-403-5912.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation with an independent healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more details and safety information.
You've loved her since the day you first met her. You've loved her through the good times and the bad. There's nothing you wouldn't do to make her happy. You may be older now, but that doesn't mean your love will ever change. ED happens, and it happens to about 50% of men over the age of 40. Visit RexMD.com and show her your love has never changed and never will. RexMD.com has helped thousands of men. Here's how RexMD.com works. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you can get FDA-approved ED medication, which are currently available to new customers. Your consultation is free. There's no copays, no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. At RexMD.com, we've made the process fast, easy, and affordable. Don't wait another minute. RexMD.com is now offering sample pack prescriptions of ED medication. Visit RexMD.com right now. That's REXMD.com.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk about The Legend of Dirty Ron, which is a shoot and a film, a pro wrestling movie, The Legend of Dirty Ron, by wrestling fans for wrestling fans.
Brian Alvarez.
Yes.
We're still raising funds to finish this film, but I wanted to thank you very much for your generous donation to us. You know, not only did you give me a platform to talk about our love letter to the wild, wacky world of pro wrestling in this film, you also donated to it too. So I really appreciate that. Hall of Famer Rob Van Dam's in the movie, 20 pro wrestlers in it, Katie Forbes, Victoria, Effie, Matt Sydal, Mecca Wolf, all the way down the list, and we're still out here trying to raise funds. I appreciate you letting me come back on here to talk about it today.
Well, we got 6 days left here. You can head to Indiegogo.com and search, I'm sure, Dirty Ron. Not sure how many Indiegogos are up right now with anyone named Dirty Ron. But how are things going? What is the status of all of this? And I guess what happens if you don't make it?
So, there's always a contingency plan. I've learned lessons the hard way my entire life. And no matter what, Indiegogo gives you whatever you raise on Indiegogo. So it's not like if it doesn't meet the goal, you don't get the funds. We do get those funds. We've been in contact with some, this is a stoner comedy, so we have been in contact with some legal cannabis companies who are interested in jumping on. And I know without a doubt we're going to get this thing done. I know you're somebody that never gives up. You train people, in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and all that, you know, they never give up. So,
you must know Rob.
What's that?
It's my joke at my producer, Rob. He won't give up.
Oh, no matter where you are, this wild, wacky journey in pro wrestling, has led me everywhere. The night I did Monday Night Raw was a pretty funny story because I wrestled Braun Strowman, but afterwards I got to meet Vince McMahon. Have you ever met Vince McMahon?
I have not met Vince McMahon, nor has Adnan Virk.
It was probably the most interesting night. And here's why I know not to give up, because the night that we got picked to do that thing, it was wild. It was a 2-on-1 when Braun Strowman was crushing people in like 2016, right? But they told us, they go, I didn't even know that it was going to be a segment on Raw when we were going over the match. I thought it was like a practice match, kind of showing what I could do. And then they said, all right, well, you're on Raw and one of you guys is going to be talking. So I got the talking part and they said, do not look into the camera. Vince McMahon hates when you look right into the camera. So on my promo, I looked right into the camera. Shout out to Marcus Mack from APW up in the Bay Area for telling me to shout out Oaktown instead of Oakland. Got a nice little pop. But afterwards, I'm walking backstage and I see down the hall, here's Vince McMahon walking my way. So I stop in the hallway and I was like, oh snap, here's Vince. What am I gonna say to him? This is probably the only time I'm ever gonna meet this guy. So I stop in the hallway. And I'm thinking all these things. And I look up and he's halfway down the hallway and he's staring right into my eyes. So I was like, oh no, I did something wrong. He's going to come yell at me like, I can't leave. I can't go backwards. Can't go forwards. There's no door to get out of here. What am I going to do? And then I look up and there he is. I tell you what, Brian Alvarez, this 12-foot man who's no shorter than 25 feet tall. Vince McMahon is looking down on me. And he's like, and I'm all looking up like, and he's looking at me. And like, we stood there for a second. We looked each other in the eyes. And he said to me, you did a great job tonight, son. You did a great job. So I know that not everybody lives a conventional life. And I definitely don't live a conventional life. So if Vince McMahon thought that I did good on my little two-minute segment on Monday Night Raw, that's good enough for me to keep trying. So that's what I'm trying to do.
So tell us a little bit about your career. You've been doing this for 20 years now, I believe. And how did you break in? Early training? Where have you been? Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
So my mom was actually an independent pro wrestler in the late 70s. in the St. Louis territory. She's you know, what I guess some people refer to as a friendly woman. You know, she always told me, she said, I hang out with all the wrestlers. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you did. You know, so she had like less than 50 matches or something. So like, we always got the WrestleManias. We always watched everything. So I've been a lifelong fan. And I started in the St. Louis area in the year 2000 with, in the same class as Delirious.
Do you know Matt whether Stan Sydal. Lane is your father, just out of curiosity?
Man, I hope it's like Michael P.S. Hayes or somebody. I mean, like, you know.
Sure.
I don't know where I don't know where I got this great hair from.
So you started in St. Louis. When did you first meet the Viggity? Same time?
I met Viggity in St. Louis. We all started training together. Viggity, myself, Matt Sydal, Delirious, Daisy Hayes, Mischief. And it's incredible. Honestly, the class of wrestlers that we came out of, there's like 12 of us, and like 8 of us are still active 20 years later. So that's incredible. Viggity's in great shape. You know, and it's wild to see like how many of us kept going, because it really felt like a special group. And now going years and years into it, seeing how long people get in, then they get out, then they get in, to see how long almost all of us, you know, kept going. And it really solidifies how incredible that period was in our lives, honestly.
So I guess, I don't know, I don't think you can answer this question. I certainly can't answer this question, but it is interesting that you rattle off the list of people that you train with, and so many of that small class is still doing this. Whereas like there's a million, and it's weird because like sometimes that happens, but sometimes the exact opposite happens. Like I'll interview one guy and he goes, oh, it was me and 13 other guys. I'm the only guy that ever did anything. And then you talk to another guy and he's like, oh, it was me and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And we all went somewhere. And I never have figured out, like, you know, what is it about a certain class? Do you bond better? Are you all good friends? And so you help each other? Like, how does this work?
Honestly, there were two core groups of us basically that were really close. There was like the me, Viggity, Sydal, Delirious, Mischief, Daisy Hayes, Click. And then there was like the other guys that all still pretty much wrestled together and all kind of, you know, stayed in the St. Louis area. And we were all young. I was 16 when I started. Sydal was 16. We were the first people in the state of Missouri to get our license under the age of 18. He was number one and I was number two. You know, so we were all young. We were all under 21. This was in the April of the year 2000. So like, this was in the heyday of the Attitude Era. So, you know, like so much wrestling was going on, and all of us were, I met Sydal doing backyard wrestling. Like all of us did backyard wrestling. And like, we were drawing better crowds than a lot of indie promotions did, you know, even pre-COVID. So, you know, like wrestling was hot and it was always special to us. And I think St. Louis is a very special area for wrestling, you know, wrestling at the Chase, Dan Muchnick, all that, you know, the great territory of St. Louis. I think that's a testament to that. And, you know, how incredible that is that we all came out of that and we're all kind of still doing stuff. And, you know, some of us in that class are doing a lot better than others. But I mean, more than half of us are still wrestling.
So regularly. Besides wrestling, I mean, there's a lot of other things you do as well. Clearly, filmmaking is in them, but comedy and other stuff. Let everybody know some of these other things that you got into and how you got into them from wrestling, or if it was just like a something you'd also done parallel during your life.
You know, I think everything in my life is based off of, you know, in some way, shape, or form, helps with my wrestling training. I toured doing music. I was like Afro Man's opening act for like 2.5 years. And we toured the country as like a comedy rock duo, you know, interacting with the crowd and feeding off the crowd energy, you know. And as a comedian, the same thing is that as a wrestler, we are not only are we actors, we're doing drama, comedy, action, stunts, improv, all in one take with an audience 360 degrees around us. So to be able to understand how to manipulate emotions and use that effectively as a pro wrestler, as a politician, as a, you know, a clergy leader, you know, a leader of some church or something. I mean, all of these people, the best of the best ever do it, have just gained skills that really pro wrestlers all embody all in one package. So when I discovered wrestling, I knew how dope it was, but doing other facets of my life really all just helped me to understand how to entertain people and not just try to get my own stuff over. It's how to build all the boats, you know, let all the waters rise so all the boats rise, or whatever that quote from the Bible was.
A sinking ship raises all tides, something like that.
Rising tide, something like
something.
That. Yeah.
So anyway, you've got the film you're working on now. So What other projects besides the film are you doing? What can you do in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, we're kind of outlaws around here, and I've been running underground warehouse shows. So we started doing drive-in wrestling last May. We were the first company in America to have a live audience after the COVID shutdown. We did a live broadcast and got some good press coverage from the LA Times. And Keith Elliott Greenberg wrote a little bit in his book about wrestling during the pandemic on us. I don't know if that's out yet. It's still doing wrestling. You know, we run our school down here in Ocean Beach, San Diego, California. Ryan Kidd and I, Ryan Kidd is 10 years in the business, 25 years old, internationally traveled, trained many months in Mexico and, you know, Japan, wrestled over in Germany, regularly goes to Europe. He brings an international pedigree, and I kind of put a little bit of the entertainment factor on it. So, you know, we've just doled out our first 6-month class, and, half of them went on to doing intermediate stuff, and, you know, and half of them stayed in the beginner's course. But teaching wrestling and teaching people how to manipulate emotions in order to, get a reaction from people is something that I think everybody needs to do. Wrestling is a great way to do that.
All right, we got a solid 3 minutes here. So now is your chance to tell everybody about this documentary and how they can help. And the whole nine yards, there's, I think, 6 days left.
So it's not a documentary, it's a stoner comedy.
Stoner comedy.
No, it's a...
You pretend it's a documentary.
I say, so it's a documentary for me.
Yes. Documentary for Dirty Ron.
It's pretty much a documentary of my life. The short story of it is a fast food mogul's playboy son is getting really messed up at work, having, relations with all sorts of, crazy women at work, and he gets fired. He gets cut off. His playboy son, he's a rich boy. He gets cut off, and beats the crap out of his manager once his manager fires him. Well, while beating the crap out of him, a former pro wrestling champion, now dumpster-dwelling pro wrestler, played by Rob Van Dam, Hall of Famer Rob Van Dam, by the way, sees Dirty Ron beat the crap out of his manager. And he says, hey, kid, you have a future in pro wrestling. So it's a Rocky-type story where Rob Van Dam plays my mentor, trying to get me schooled up for a match. And while all this is going on, the world champion, played by Effie, who's basically Ric Flair, a little more of a flamboyant Ric Flair in the film. Effie.
Flamboyant Ric Flair. This I got to see. That sold me on the film right there.
There it is. I think wrestling has so many stories to tell. I think now that we're starting to see people invest into wrestling, to see origin stories of wrestlers, Young Rock, things like that, the fighting with my family, with Paige's family. I think people are really starting to see how cool wrestling is, since we're not trying to act like it's real anymore. We're all in on it. We all know it's a story. We're here to suspend our disbelief and enjoy a show. So, I'm glad the live wrestling's coming back. And that's what we plan on doing with this film too, taking it live into towns and showing it in, small theaters. So, you're not going to be able to stream this thing. We're going to finish making a pro wrestling movie, The Legend of Dirty Ron, and we're going to get it out there and take it to the people who helped us fund this thing.
And very quickly, if you want this to work, everybody, you have to help, because there is a fundraiser going on right now, Indiegogo.com, The Legend of Dirty Ron. I'll talk about it a little bit more after the break. Dirty Ron, I want to thank you very much for doing the show today. We'll talk to you again soon, brother.
Brian Alvarez, you're the man. Thank you very much.
Back in a moment, Observer Live.